Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're all still awake. We're going to read this morning from Acts 24. We're making our way through Acts. And we'll read Acts 24 from verse 22. Paul has been arrested, and the first part of chapter 24, which we will look at, Paul is accused by the Jews, and then gives his defense. And then this is what happens after Paul gives his defense. Acts chapter 24, verse 22. This is God's word. But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, "When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case." Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, that is Paul, but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you speak through your word. Lord, give us ears to hear. Lord, we're not here this morning just to play games. We're not here this morning just for the sake of it. We really, really need to hear from you. Father, we need your word. We need your word for salvation, to know the truth, to know the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we need your word to grow, to go closer to you. Father, help us this morning just to see the reality of what this life is, to see the reality of you, to see the reality of the only way to you. Father, we know that you are real. We know that heaven is real. We know that hell is real. And so, Lord, we pray that you would really speak to us this morning, sharpen our minds, help us to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning I want to think about Christianity in the comfort zone. In the summertime we're looking at the danger zone with our holiday Bible club. But this morning, so you can be thankful I'm not taking you to the lion's den or taking you to the fiery furnace this morning. But we're thinking about Christianity in the comfort zone. And to be honest, I'm not sure which is worse, or which is more deadly to our souls, which is more deadly to the spiritual life of the Christian church. Christianity when it's in the danger zone, whenever we're persecuted, whenever people are persecuting us for our faith, or Christianity in the comfort zone. Whenever things are going well, whenever we have no troubles, whenever we have no worries about people and our faith. But we do live in an unbelievably comfortable age, the most comfortable age in all of history. Do you remember the time whenever, if you wanted to know the weather, you had to go to all that bother of turning on the TV and waiting for the news to come on, or imagine going to a newspaper, one of those old things, and looking at the weather? Well, today, if you want to check the weather or something like that, all you have to do, and you have to do, use your hands, all you have to do is speak. There's this thing called Alexa, made by Amazon, and all you have to do is say, "Alexa, what's the weather today in Hollywood?" And Alexa would speak to you. If you want to find out anything, just ask Alexa. And apparently it's made now with a screen as well. So you can say, "Alexa, show me a video about whatever. Show me a video about how to change a light bulb." And Alexa will spring up a video on how to show a light bulb. Wonderful days of convenience. Remember the days whenever, if you were on a plane or on a train and you wanted to sleep, and you had to find, a way to put your head on your shoulder, or imagine putting your head against the window or something? Well, wonderful days of technology. All your problems solved. Sleep away on the train. I'm not sure how you carry it around with you, but there's your problems are being sorted for you today. Remember the days whenever awful, unfortunate situation, you'd run out of toilet roll. And you have to go all the way to the shop and buy toilet roll. You have to actually talk to someone and use real money, maybe involving a car or a walking somewhere. Just awful, horrific days. It's awful even to think about. Today, if you run out of toilet roll, you can have one of these. They're called dash buttons. And all you have to do is press this wee, this is real, a wee thing in your house. And if you just press that button, that will talk to, that's connected to Wi-Fi, and that will automatically offer you fresh toilet roll. And it'll come next day or whatever. If you're in an emergency situation, it might not be much help. Next day might not be much good, but it will come. Or you can do that, have the same for washing detergent. Or this here, this is possibly the greatest invention ever created in all of mankind. Ever want to order a pizza? All you have to do, maybe Domino's, this is real, press a button and it will automatically order you a pizza and it will come. So you don't have to get in your car or even use a phone. People don't use their phones for talking to people anymore. You can avoid all that hassle. I think there's one more. Oh yes, every day I'm sure you wake up and think, my feet are so cold, or my feet are too warm today. I really would love something to make my feet, be able to control the temperature of my feet. These are called thermosoles, and you can control the temperature of your feet. We don't have to worry about how hot or cold our feet are anymore. Technology can do that for us. And golfing, I know a lot of people into golfing. Golfing, great, but an awful lot of walking. You can get one of these here that will allow you a caddy and a golf buggy all in one. Maybe somebody should buy Rory McIlroy one that might help him out these days. But today we live in unbelievable convenience and comfort, all these gadgets and things that can do so many things for us. And this morning we're going to look at a man called Felix. We don't know what he looked like. He almost certainly did not. Oh no, there's one more. That's right. Yes, mopping the floor, a remote control mop. You can sit and have a cup of tea, watch TV while you mop the floor. We don't know what Felix looked like. He almost certainly looked nothing like that. But that's a picture of somebody, an impression of Felix and his wife Drusilla with Paul before them. And Felix lived 2,000 years ago, but I think Felix would have fitted into our modern society, our of comfort and convenience. I had planned to speak on the first part of chapter 24, but the more I looked at Felix, the more I myself was convicted, and the more I just saw how relevant Felix is for us today. He was a governor in his time. He was born a slave, and he rose up through the ranks along with his brother and became the governor of Judea. It was said of him that with savagery and lust, he exercised the powers of a king with the disposition of a slave. So he had the powers of a king, but kind of the mind or the attitude of a slave. By that, they just meant that he was a ruthless leader. And that's secular history who's recorded that. He was a ruthless leader who any sort of opposition or any trouble, that he would quench it with a firm hand. Those are coins that archaeologists found with his name on them. He was ruthless in stopping any resistance to Rome. So much so that that's eventually how he lost his position. He was so ruthless that the people of Judea cried out against to Rome about how brutal he was, and he eventually lost his job. But this is the man to whom Paul is brought before. And Paul's being accused. We see at the start of chapter 24 a man called Tertullus, and he brings this accusation against Paul. And he says, this is how it starts, he says, "Since through you, talking to Felix, we enjoy much peace, and since by your foresight, most excellent Felix, reforms are being made for this nation in every way and everywhere, we accept this with all gratitude." Which is complete nonsense and a complete lie. The Jews hated the Romans, and by all accounts, Felix's rule was awful. So he's completely being a complete hypocrite and saying, talking Felix up by how wonderful he is. And then he starts to accuse Paul. And he says that, verse 5, "For we found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world, and is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. By examining him yourself, you'll be able to find out from him about everything of which he is accused." Which again is a lie. They didn't really arrest him. They tried to kill him, and the Romans had to step in and rescue him. But he's saying that Paul is a troublemaker. Paul is a heretic. He's a leader of a sect. And you'll see that what an awful man this is. And this was what my sermon was going to be. Paul responds and says that he's not a troublemaker. He's able to point to his peaceful conduct, point and say, "Look, I'm preaching this message, but I've acted peacefully, and nobody, you can't accuse me of stirring up trouble." He points to what they have in common. He says, "Look, I have the same God. I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets." He says, "This isn't a new religion. I haven't come and invented a new faith. I believe the same thing that the Jews do. I just believe that Jesus is our Messiah." And he gets to the point and he talks about the resurrection. He says, "I'm here because of the resurrection." So Paul said, "I'm not a troublemaker. I'm not someone who has weird beliefs and need to be locked up." And then Felix has to judge. He is the one who has to come in and say, judge over Paul. And say, that was what I was going to talk about all that. But the more I saw about Felix, the more I just see how he speaks into our day and our age of convenience and comfort. people who could hear the gospel could know so much about the faith. But in a lot of ways, we have Christianity in the comfort zone. The first thing about Felix was that he was curious about Christ. Look at verse 22. It says, Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, which is an early term for Christianity, referring to Christians and the gospel. So Felix, he knew something about the way. Maybe he had heard about the faith, heard about Jesus, this man Jesus, who had done all these amazing things, and there had been so much trouble in Jerusalem. He couldn't have not heard about it. And he's curious about it. It says that he sends Paul back, but it says that at different times he would call Paul back out of prison and talk to him. He was interested. He wanted to know more. He was curious about Christianity. His wife was Jewish, so maybe she had explained to him some of the things about it, and he had learnt more through her as well. But he wanted to hear more. And maybe there are people like that today who like to hear about Christianity, like to listen to sermons, maybe like to come to church occasionally, like to watch the odd YouTube video or read articles or read books about Christianity. They're kind of curious about it. I had a friend who would all the time would ask me questions about Christianity in the Bible. He'd ask me about predestination or who are the 144,000. Things like that. Those are conversations I would have with him. But he wasn't a Christian. But he was really curious about Christianity. Like, he probably could have explained the gospel to me better than I could to him. He knew lots about it. And maybe there are many people like that who are curious about it, who know lots about it intellectually, but they've never put their faith in Christ. And notice what Paul talks to him. What does Paul say? Verse 24, when he sends for Paul, Paul speaks to him about faith in Christ Jesus. He gets straight to the point, faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Felix and Drusilla needed to hear. About Jesus who had helped and healed people, Jesus who loved, Jesus who called people to follow him, Jesus who was crucified as he had predicted, Jesus who rose again and spoke to his disciples, Jesus who met Saul on the road to Damascus, Jesus who is the only hope in life, the only hope in death, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And Paul would have let it all on the line. And Felix maybe would like to have talked about all sorts of different things. But Paul listened and said, Paul, Felix, it's faith in Christ Jesus. That's the fundamental, the core thing. So there are many people who are interested in Christianity, like to talk about it, like to think about it. But Paul says it's faith in Jesus. You must put your faith in Jesus. He told them that righteousness does not come by ourselves, by what we do, by how smart we are, by how good we are, that God alone is righteous. God alone is holy and just, and the only way to that righteousness is through faith in Jesus Christ. It says he talked to him about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment. He warned Felix, put your faith in Christ. He told him about the coming judgment. Felix would have judged many people. He was judging Paul right there and right then. But Paul would have told him, Felix, one day you will stand before a higher throne. A higher throne even than any throne or judgment seat in Rome, even than Caesar himself. You will stand before the judgment seat of God. And all your curiosity and all your wanderings and all your questions and all your messing about with Christianity will be of no help to you then. It's faith in Christ Jesus. And it starts to get too real for Felix. And he sends Paul away. Says that he was alarmed. That literally means he trembled whenever Paul talked to him about these things. Christianity got too close. Felix, he was curious, but he wanted to be in control. He was curious about Christ, liked to talk about him, talk about these things, but really whenever it came down to it, Felix wanted to be the one who was in control. He could talk, maybe we talked about it all day. He could talk about Jesus, but he didn't want to give Jesus one part of his life. I remember talking to a guy, and he was talking about the churches that he's been to, and he said, oh, I don't want to go to that. I would never go to that church. They don't preach the cross. They don't preach the blood. He wasn't a believer. He wasn't a Christian. He was so curious about Christianity, and he knew so much about it, and he was even convinced by some of it, but never put his faith in Christ. Because ultimately there were things in his life that he didn't want to give over to Jesus. He didn't want to give up control. I think for many people today, Christianity has become a religion of convenience. Curious about it, like to talk about it, like maybe some of the promises that it offers, some of the things that maybe it can give us. Sure, we don't like to. Nobody wants to go to hell, so maybe yes, a wee bit of Jesus that will help. But really, are we a bit like Felix? Whenever he was worried, whenever he wanted to talk, he would drag Paul out of prison and have him then. And then whenever things got too real, whenever he couldn't be bothered anymore, send Paul back to prison. Ignore him, out of sight, out of mind. And I wonder, for some people, is that the way we treat Jesus? There are times in our lives whenever things get hard or things get difficult, and we can wheel Jesus out then and think about his promises. But the rest of the time, whenever life's good, whenever life's going well, whenever it comes to our the rest of our life, Jesus can deal with the crisis. He can deal with the difficult times. But whenever it comes to my own time, my own life, my own interests, my marriage, my money, my entertainment, my work, my relationships, I'll be in control of that. I'll handle that. Jesus, I'll wheel him out whenever I need him. And Jesus becomes a thing of convenience. And that's not Christianity. That's not what being a disciple is. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christianity is not a religion of convenience. It's not something we do on our own time, in our own time, in our own way. This modern world of comfort tells us that we can have everything your way. You have it your way. Like that was Burger King's line, wasn't it? And that's all this modern consumeristic world. It's everything in your way. We can do our hobbies in our own time. We can travel our way, listen to what we want, watch what we want, do whatever we want in our time, in our way. And then so often I think we try to apply the same attitude, the same mentality when it comes to Jesus. Jesus doesn't call us to convenience. He calls us to pick up our cross and to follow him. Is Jesus an interest for you in your life? Are you just kind of curious about him? Or to put your faith in Christ Jesus, as Paul would urge us this morning. Is he an interest? Or is he God? Is he our Savior and is he our Lord? Felix, he was curious about Christ, but really he thought that he was in control. He wanted to be in control. But I want to see, and time's moving on, there's two other things I think that were really in control for Felix. He thought that he was in control, but it says that in verse 26, after he'd sent Paul away, at the same time he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. He sends Paul away. So, and I think Felix was curious. He had some interest in Christianity. But his other interest in Paul was money. He hoped that Paul would offer him a bribe and get him out of there. It was illegal against Roman rules, but it didn't stop it from happening. Apparently it was rife and happened all the time. People would offer bribes. And I thought it was really strange. Why would Felix think that Paul would have money? Why would Felix, who was the governor, surely he would be far richer and have access to far more money than Paul? But Paul, in his defence, mentions how he came to Jerusalem to offer alms, to bring charity money, really, to the temple. And so Felix must have thought, Paul has access here to some pot of money. There's money somewhere behind Paul. And he thought that he wanted to get his hand on it. And Felix, really, he thought he was in control, but really he was controlled by greed. In the end, Felix was more concerned about getting money from Paul than he was about resolving his soul. He was more interested in increasing his bank account than he was concerned about his future and his eternity. And again, I think it was comfort that had Felix in his grasp. He wanted to be more wealthy, more at ease, more comfortable. And same, I think, today Felix would fit in. Money and consumerism defines our society. Somebody once said, if you want to know what's at the heart of a society, look at its calendar. Look at what we arrange ourselves around, how we structure our time. And if you look at our Western culture, even the Christian festivals and times of the year, Christmas, Valentine's, Easter, it's not really, for most people, it's not really about Christianity or faith. It's about shopping and buying stuff, about buying food, buying presents, buying gifts. And now, of course, we have these new, uniquely consumeristic events, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. We arrange our time, our calendar around shopping. It used to be, I think, therefore I am. I think today it's, I shop, therefore I am, or I buy, therefore I am. We define ourselves by what we buy, what we wear, what labels we have, what phone we have, what car we drive. It becomes almost how we see ourselves, how we define ourselves, how we see other people. And Felix gave himself over to money. He's so caught up in the rat race of getting more and more that it stole his heart from Jesus. There was a young man who came to Jesus one time and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, have you kept the commandments? The man said, yeah, I've kept all the commandments. What else must I do? And he said, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Give it all. Not because that's how you win salvation, but Jesus was pushing him. What is your God? Who are you following? Do you really want to follow me? Or are you following money? And the man went away sad. Went away sad. Money owned him. Money wasn't his possession, but money possessed him. I think a question is, what moves us? What do we worship? Worship is defined by it's a pattern of revelation and response. Worship is seeing something and then responding in praise, thinking that's great, wonderful, praising it. I wonder what, if we look into our own hearts and our own souls, what is it that we worship? I'm convicted by this myself. I think even of times in the evenings flicking through Property Pal and looking at all the different houses and the bigger house that you could possibly have and this one and that one, and you see it and you think about it, and then it starts to move and you think, oh, maybe if I could just do that. I'm not saying that that's a sin to look at other houses or to move house or anything like that. But it's really what is our idol? What is in our hearts? What do we love most of all? What moves us? What would move you more? A new house or a new convert? Leading someone to Jesus? A new phone or killing sin? Growing closer to God? Knowing more of God? Which of those excites us more? And I'm speaking to myself as much as anyone. Which of those excites us more? Which of those do we want more? What's our heart, really? Is it more stuff? Or more of God, knowing more of him. And say, Paul didn't play ball with Felix. Money wasn't on the table. Righteousness, self-control, and judgment. Faith in Jesus. That's what he talked to Felix about. Jesus didn't mind, and God doesn't mind us having money. It's not about that. But he does mind money having us. And money had Felix. The question of how rich you are is irrelevant. The question of how greedy you are is not. Money will not damn you, but the love of money might. Money is a wonderful gift, but it's a terrible God. And it was Felix's God. And I wonder, are we controlled by it? Do we live for it? And say, it's not about how much you have. The poorest person can be the greediest person, or vice versa. But are we controlled by it? What is controlling us? And then lastly and quickly, he was controlled by fear. He leaves Paul in prison. Money wins over, and he leaves him in prison. Verse 27, when 2 years had elapsed, so Paul was in prison for 2 years, Felix was succeeded by Festus. And desiring to do the Jews a favour, he left Paul in prison. He wanted to keep in with the Jews. He knew the Jews had potentially could cry out to Rome and give him a bad report, and he could lose his job. And I think Felix knew that Paul had done nothing wrong. Paul deserved to be released. But he leaves him in prison. It goes against his conscience because of fear of what other people think. Trying to preserve his status, trying to preserve his position. I'm sure he felt the call and his conscience to release Paul, but he ignores it. And there's echoes here of Pilate. Pilate knew Jesus, there was no charge to answer, knew that Jesus had done nothing wrong. But the crowd comes, crucify him, crucify him. And he ignores his conscience and he goes with the crowd. I think perhaps we at times can be controlled and led by not what we think is right. Not doing what we truly believe, but doing what we think others want us to do. Or trying to fit in, trying to do what the crowd is doing. We all have a fear of loneliness, a fear of rejection, a longing to be in with the crowd. And so at times we do whatever it takes then to be accepted. Even making choices that we know are wrong at times. We all follow someone or something. If you look back, I'm sure you'll remember some of the trends and fashions in your younger days, and you look back and say, whoever could have possibly liked that? I can remember whenever I was younger, the popper trousers. Do you remember those, like Adidas, popper trousers with the buttons? Those were all the in thing, and everybody had those. I don't know what it was for you. For Alistair, probably it was cycling around on his penny farthing, and going down to watch the Titanic getting built. But we all follow something. We all follow trends. And it's not because we really think it's great and it's wonderful. It's because other people do. We all fear, revere something or someone. Maybe it's the crowd. Maybe it's Facebook, Instagram. Maybe it's our friends, our family. Maybe it's our parents, people at work. Maybe it's yourself, your own high opinion of yourself. We all have something we look to, something that controls us, a standard we conform to, something that we fear. Of course, Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The one who created all, he is the one that we ultimately, he is our standard, the one that we fear. And when I say fear, I'm not talking about a cringing, terrified, just scared of him, hiding under our beds. but a deep reverence for his greatness, a knowing that there is nothing and no one greater and more worthy of our lives than him. And I think whenever we lose the fear of the Lord, that's something we don't really talk about much anymore. We lose so much. Somebody was speaking to our young people last week. He talked about Jesus being our Saviour and our friend, but he also said our Lord. I thought that was really good. He is our Saviour and our friend, but he's also our Lord. He's the one we follow. And Felix didn't have the fear of the Lord. He had the fear of man. And he allowed the fear of man to lead him away from God and lead him away from Christ. And we don't know what happened to Felix. We do know that Felix's wife and a son went to Pompeii, and perished among the revelry and the parties, giving over to a life of comfort. And an instant, just like that, were swept away. I wonder this morning, do you hear God speaking to you? We are so comfortable, and we can entertain ourselves to death. We can distract ourselves until we grow to a ripe old age, and just by hobbies and interests, work and TV. But I wonder, do you ever take time to really look into your own heart and soul? I think, where are you with God? Don't just be won over by a life of comfort and a life of ease like Felix, pulling Paul out whenever he wanted to, whenever it suited him, at his own ease, at his own comfort. Do we really follow Jesus now and forever? To close, there was a rich farmer. Not all farmers are rich, but there was a rich farmer who had a great crop, a great season, and his barns were bulging. And he thought, wow, this is great. Tell you what I'll do, build bigger barns. Farmers love barns. I'll build more of them. And he built more barns and filled them. Wonderful. And I thought, this is me. This is me for life. I can sit back and enjoy these barns, all the crop and all the money that will give me. And he goes to bed that night, and God speaks to him and says, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. And he went into eternity, and his barns and his crops and his money and all that he had for the rest of his life was, in that moment, in the blink of an eye, was no use to him, no good to him. Do we let comfort and ease, do we let fear of, are we controlled by money, are we controlled by the fear of man? Or if God called us now, if God called us tonight, not to use scare tactics, but we have to get real at times. If God called you tonight, where would you go? What would God say to you? What are we living for? Let's pray, and then we're going to sing again. Father, we do thank you for your word. And Lord, it's convicting. I feel convicted myself this morning. We pray for the help of your Holy Spirit. We pray for us to have that courage in you, to look to you, if not to get caught up in the world and all the world offers and the comfort and ease, and to be distracted to death. But Father, help us to focus our eyes, focus our gaze on the cross and what you did for us, Lord, the sacrifice you made for us. Help us to lay down our lives at the cross and then pick up our own cross and follow you, whatever that means for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.